Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, May 13th, 2026. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Five conservation groups ask federal judge for injunction against road building for planned Stibnite mine east of McCall near a wilderness area. Governor Little says Republican primary opponents' supporters are racist. We'll have a look at the Democratic primary for U.S. Senate from Idaho. That's Jim Risch's seat. And five conservation and Moscow man gets 17 and a half years for child porn. Also, Bureau of Land Management nominee, former U.S. Senator Steve Pierce of New Mexico, to get grilling before the Senate. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. Five conservation groups are asking a federal judge for a preliminary injunction stopping Canadian mining firm Perpetua from building a 23-mile road to the long-closed Stibnite mine east of McCall until their lawsuit against the mining company moves through the court system. Perpetua plans on reopening the gold and antimony mine adjacent to the Frank Church River of No Return Wilderness, and its first move is to build the burnt log route to haul industrial mining equipment across an inventoried roadless area in the National Forest. Idaho Rivers United, the Idaho Conservation League, Save the South Fork, the Center for Biological Diversity, and Earthworks have sued the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service over what they see as threats to public health, clean water, and protected fish, including summer Chinook, steelhead,ez bull trout. The Nez Perce tribe has filed a separate lawsuit because the mine reopening threatens their treaty fishing rights, where they are working to restore fish habitat. Nick Kanath of Idaho Rivers United told the Lewiston Tribune, "The main thing that really brought us to this is Perpetua's interest and insistence on moving forward with the burnt log route. It has a number of stream crossings and riparian impacts where bull trout exists. We are wanting to see our larger case move forward because there is major construction activities that are much harder to undo, especially if we prevail." John Robison of the Idaho Conservation League said, "If you have something that is an imminent threat, we felt we had to respond to protect the integrity of the watershed before it's irreversibly damaged." Perpetua spokesperson Marty Boughton said in an email sent to the Lewiston Tribune, he believes the injunction motion is without merit. Boughton said the mine reopening went through a 9-year permitting and approval process, which included, quote, one of the most rigorous science-based environmental reviews in the world, with nearly a decade of baseline surveys, environmental analysis, engineering, and stakeholder engagement. A judge has set a hearing on the motion for an injunction for Thursday, May 28th. Former Republican U.S. Senator Steve Pierce is expected to go through the U.S. Senate confirmation process on his appointment to head the Trump Bureau of Land Management. Pierce is a controversial choice for director because he co-sponsored the 2016 HERD Act, which would have allowed the Interior Department and the Department of Agriculture, which has jurisdiction over the Forest Service, to sell or exchange lands with local governments. Critics of that law say once in state hands, the states will have the ability to sell those lands to private interests. Pierce wrote in a 2012 letter, the federal government should divest from the land because private and state government stewardship would result in, quote, more production and local management. During a confirmation hearing before the U.S. Senate Natural Resources Committee earlier this year, Republican U.S. Senator Jim Risch of Idaho told Pierce, Idahoans do not want their public land sold. Pierce said he would follow the law and the direction of impacted members of Congress when it comes to the distribution of land. Conservation Voters of Idaho has released a statement approving of Risch's dialogue with Pierce and opposing Pierce's confirmation by the full Senate. Conservation Voters for Idaho Executive Director Alexis Pickering said in a previous statement, when Steve Pierce sells America's public lands for private development, they are gone forever. We can't afford a BLM director like Steve Pierce that will squander our most precious resource, the public lands that provide revenue, habitat, public recreation, and support our Idaho way of life. The Sierra Club released a statement Monday which said, Pierce has a track record of prioritizing corporate interests over people, no matter what promises he made to Senator Risch. And with him at the helm of the BLM, Idaho's pristine waters, wilderness areas, and outdoor heritage are all at risk. And you're listening to the KRFP Evening Report on KRFP Moscow Pullman.
The Trump administration has finalized its rescission of the Bureau of Land Management's public lands rule. Critics say the change weakens protections while prioritizing resource extraction from the country's public lands. More than 130,000 comments were submitted during the comment period for rescinding the rule, of which nearly 98% were opposed to the change. Alice Weston with the Oregon chapter of the Sierra Club says the BLM is ignoring the broad opposition.
People are saying they want their children to be able to recreate in these places, to hunt, to fish, to go out on their bike, hike, camp, and enjoy clean water and clean air. So these rules and these protections are something that help preserve our wild places for future generations.
The BLM manages more than 250 million acres of public land across the country, including nearly 25% of the total land in Oregon, largely east of the Cascades. The Bureau states revoking the rule will restore balance to land management practices. Finalized in 2024, Weston says the public lands rule ensures indigenous knowledge, conservation, and cultural resources are considered alongside things like mining, drilling, and grazing. She says the BLM has limited public participation in the process by cutting the comment period short and failing to create public spaces where people can share their opinions.
This is a clearly wildly unpopular and undemocratic process, and it's really disappointing. But I think also people are going to continue to fight back.
Though the path forward is unclear, Weston says the public lands rule has broad bipartisan support. She adds she is inspired by the unity and creativity of Oregon's communities and leaders, who she says will keep fighting to protect the state's public lands. I'm Isabel Charlet, Oregon News Service.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by listeners like you and by Moscow Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center, a nonprofit organization dedicated to bringing commerce and community together through business support, local events, and economic development initiatives. 114 South Main Street in downtown Moscow, 208-882-1800, and moscowchamber.com. Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by Idaho Chapter and Palouse Group of the Sierra Club, which are building a grassroots movement for climate and ecological justice in Idaho. Sierra Club empowers community members of all ages to advocate for clean energy, abundant wildlife, and outdoor access. sierraclub.org/Idaho/Palouse-group.
Don't touch that dial. You got it right.
We're up in the morning when it first gets light, and we do it all day. Then we're up all night so you can listen to the radio.
You got it right.
Radio, you've got it right.
Listen, listen, anytime you listen, everybody's on a mission, and there ain't nothing missing when you listen to the radio.
Listen to the radio,
you've got it right.
Community radio,
listen, and you give a little listen to the radio.
Radio Free Moscow.
Fight Back Radio.
It's 90.3 on your radio dial.
Fight Back.
Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for your support, so keep on listening and listening and listening.
Fight back.
We're still here.
Radio.
Still here.
Fight back. Fight back. Fight back.
Fight back.
Fight back.
Fight back.
Fight back.
Call any vegetable. Call Moscow Food Co-op encourages the daily use of reusable bags, reusable produce bags, and reusable bulk containers in efforts to minimize the amount of single-use products entering the waste stream through the Change for Good Bag Token Project.
All the vegetable will respond to you.
I jump up and down and hope you toss me a carrot.
Here's another way to help KRFP, one bag at a time.
You have three choices for where your bag tokens go when you visit with your co-op cashier during the months of April, May, and June. And your community radio station, KRFP, is one of them.
Bag tokens, the Moscow Food Co-op.
I'm red as a beet.
This is the KRFP Evening Report on KRFP Moscow Pullman. Seemingly unaware he was being recorded, Idaho Governor Brad Little said supporters of Mark Fitzpatrick, his main rival in the Republican primary for governor this year, are, quote, straight racist, and, quote, they just hate Mexican people. During a Southern Idaho event, state agricultural leaders and industrial lobbyists discussed the proportion of the state's farm workers who are undocumented and employers' challenges to verifying workers' legal status. Retired U.S. Border Czar Greg Bovino, who stepped down following the public backlash to the federal government's invasion of Minneapolis, said in an ex-formerly Twitter post that Governor Little's comments in the video are textbook cheap labor politics, Idaho edition, and at Governor Little's response to voters wanting enforcement, smear them as racists who hate Mexicans. Immigration policy remains a divisive topic in the Republican Party nationwide and in Idaho. It serves as a litmus test for some as to whether Republican politicians are conservative enough. During the 2026 legislative session, far-right lawmakers doubled down on opposition to immigration, legal and illegal, and expressed frustration over a number of bills never reaching the governor's desk. Republicans often debated the pragmatism and legality of harsh enforcement measures and their effects on industry and law enforcement. Governor Little, who is a rancher with agricultural industrial backing, has been broadly supportive of the Trump administration's immigration enforcement, signing an agreement between the Idaho State Police and ICE and supporting a joint ICE-FBI raid at a Wilder horse racing track in October that detained hundreds temporarily and netted 105 arrests. But he has avoided Fitzpatrick's harsh rhetoric, dismissed the possibility of a Minneapolis-style invasion on Idaho's cities, and has reservations about the immigration-related arrest of a father outside of his child's Boise preschool. Fitzpatrick has openly supported Trumpian immigration enforcement on social media and through his business offering free beer at his bar patrons in Eagle, who help ICE deport undocumented immigrants. He referred to the inflow of legal immigrants, undocumented immigrants, and refugees as an invasion of Idaho. Governor Little enjoys an endorsement from Trump, support from Idaho Power, the Idaho Association of Realtors, and the agricultural industry, and a $1.8 million fundraising advantage over Fitzpatrick's $185,000. Nicholas Bonds, a 33-year-old estate executive from Post Falls, Brad Moore, a 69-year-old Army veteran from Boise, and David Roth, a 44-year-old digital consultant from Idaho Falls, are competing in the Democratic primary for the U.S. Senate seat currently held by Senator Jim Risch. Neither Bonds nor Moore have run for public office before. Roth ran for the state legislature in 2020 and for federal elected positions in 2022 and 2024. Bonds said his top priorities are health care, accountability, and civil rights. Moore said he would focus on stopping Trump's war in Iran, removing Trump's tariffs, and lowering the cost of groceries. Roth said he aims to implement universal health care, addressing housing issues and health care affordability, and restore government checks and balances and end congressional corruption. According to a profile of the candidates in the Idaho Statesman, all three said they would work across the aisle to prevent federal government shutdowns and make progress on issues that have stalled in Congress. But Roth expressed some skepticism, saying, quote, "The reality is that it is very difficult to foster a bipartisan agreement when there is no guarantee that the other party will continue to move forward in good faith." Moore said in relation to the stalled farm bill that he'd negotiate with Rust Belt senators to pass a new bill and restore trade agreements with China, Canada, and Mexico. Trump has broken down those agreements. Bonds said he's focused on transparent negotiation and bipartisanship without compromising values. On health care, Roth said he supports Medicare for All or universal health care administered by the federal government. He said, as a country, we have been kicking the can down the road to solve our health care funding problem since President Truman first suggested a national insurance for health care. Moore called for the reversal of Medicaid reductions under Trump's so-called Big Beautiful Bill. He said that's a life-or-death situation for many Idahoans. Moore also said he supports the restoration of health care premium tax credits. Bonds said he supports lowering premiums and regulations to prevent cost spikes. He also said a complete overhaul toward a single-payer system is not out of the question. Moore criticized reports of deaths of migrants in ICE custody. He said the best way to reform our immigration system at this point is to abolish ICE. No one wants it. We don't need it. Any ICE agents that could pass these standards to become a Border Patrol officer could go to work for Border Patrol instead. Roth said current immigration enforcement is not solving problems and said he supports creating a pathway to citizenship for those who came to the U.S. as children, including Dreamers. Dreamers are the people who benefited from President Obama's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, or DACA. Bond said he supports improved border security that is orderly, humane, and predictable. Roth has raised $7,500 for the campaign, a fraction of the $100,000 he raised for his Senate race against Mike Crapo in 2022. Bonds has not met the Federal Election Commission threshold of $5,000 to be required to report donations, but self-reports a donation total of almost $600. More could not be found in the Federal Election Commission database. The winner will face the winner of the Republican primary, as well as Libertarian Matt Losby and independent candidates Todd Achilles, a former Democratic representative in the Idaho legislature, and Natalie Fleming. In the November general election, incumbent U.S. Senator Jim Risch is favored to win the Republican primary against his little-known opponents.
As the nation recognizes American Stroke Month, survivors are encouraging people to learn the warning signs and symptoms to protect themselves and loved ones. Strokes happen when blood flow to the brain is interrupted, and they're currently the number 4 killer in the country. Claudette Kenmer, a stroke survivor from Spokane, says the acronym BFAST is an easy way to remember the symptoms of stroke. She explains the letters stand for balance, eye or vision problems, face drooping, arm raising trouble, speech, and time to call 911.
If you're having a stroke, if you can get to the emergency room or get an ambulance to you as soon as possible, that helps reduce what can happen to you. But if you know what to look for, you can really help yourself and help other people.
Kenmer says the doctor did not suspect she was having a stroke at first because she was only 45 and otherwise healthy. She adds the experience taught her the importance of managing her stress levels. Dr. David Tirschwell is a stroke neurologist at the University of Washington. He says the biggest risk factor for stroke is untreated high blood pressure. He explains the course of action depends on the patient, but calls high blood pressure are very treatable.
If it's only a little bit up, your primary care provider might suggest a lifestyle change where you're eating a healthier diet, consuming less salt, and exercising more.
Tirschwell adds medication may be needed in more serious cases. According to the American Heart Association and the American Stroke Association, about 80% of strokes are preventable. I'm Isabel Charlet, Washington News Service.
Federal District Judge David Nye has sentenced a Moscow man to 17 and a half years in prison for possessing and distributing child porn. 40-year-old Devin T. Pickler pleaded guilty to receipt of child pornography previously. After receiving a tip last year, law enforcement examined Pickler's social media account and found he had uploaded hundreds of child sex abuse files and posted messages about his desire to sexually abuse children. Pickler wrote in one post about going to a street market to look for young children to grope, but being unable to do so because of, quote, too many helicopter parents. Police raided Pickler's home in early 2025 and found several electronic devices which had child porn and a childlike sex doll. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area, the National Weather Service has a wind advisory in effect until 11 p.m. tonight for the Washington and Idaho Palouse, the Lewiston area, Lewis and southern Nez Perce counties, the Coeur d'Alene and Spokane area, the upper Columbia Basin, and the Wenatchee area. This wind advisory in effect until 11 p.m. tonight says southwest winds 20 to 30 miles per hour with gusts up to 50 miles per hour. Gusty winds will blow around unsecured objects. Tree limbs could be blown down and a few power outages may result. Areas of blowing dust can reduce visibility to 1 mile. Winds this strong can make driving difficult, especially for high-profile vehicles. Use extra caution. Forecast for the Moscow-Pullman area is calling for 50% chance of showers before midnight tonight, patchy blowing dust before 2 a.m., cloudy during the early evening, then gradual clearing, low 41, windy, west winds 20 to 25, decreasing to 15 to 20 after midnight, winds could gust up to 45 miles per hour. Increasing clouds tomorrow, high 61, breezy, west winds 15 to 20, gusts up to 30. Increasing clouds Thursday night, low 41, west winds 10 to 15, gusts up to 25. And cloudy through mid-morning Friday, then becoming mostly sunny, high 59, southwest winds 10 to 15, gusts up to 25. Current temperature is 46 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts you hear during Morning Mix, the recordings of local events and the public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP, be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners and our listeners know that your business or nonprofit supports community radio. You can adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option and a Patreon button as well. Once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis, David Katz, assistant.
KRFP is supported by listeners like you and by Moscow Ale House, with something for everyone in the family. You can find Moscow Ale House at 226 West 6th Street or call 208-882-BREW. That's 208-882-2739.